Kevin Ross, currently on the board at National Corn Growers, will step into the first vice president role here October 1.
Kevin, let's begin with the USDA trade aid package. Details of that released yesterday. What's the impact for corn farmers, in your opinion?
Pretty small. You know, a penny a bushel is really a very, very slim impact, especially considering the data that we had submitted to USDA on the total impact to corn farmers, and $6.3 billion worth of damage that we, you know, can quantify for trade. And, you know, certainly it's not just direct corn. It's also DDGs and ethanol exports that have been hammered with this for us. So those types of things really weren't taken into account, and very frustrating when it comes to, you know, it comes to our perspective as to certainly having the, you know, discussions with USDA as to what we, you know, what we know the real damage was to corn farmers.
Where does NCGA go from here, knowing that USDA is calling this a short-term solution?
Well, you know, we're just going to continue to work hard on free trade and making sure we're as loud as we can, activating our membership, and really trying to, you know, make sure that they understand how important free trade is for agriculture. You know, it's what we've said for a long time, and certainly these trade deals need to get done. You know, Mexico being very close. Are basically done, I guess. You know, that's something that we need to have done and finished, and then, you know, hopefully we can move on and we get Canada right there behind it. So NAFTA 2.0, whatever you want to call it, get this you know, on the right track, and then get the next ones moving.
Certainly a positive development between the U.S. and Mexico. Not a lot of details known. President Trump touting it as a benefit to farmers, but what are you most anxious to hear about? And I know that they said that ag products will be won't be tariffed, so you know that much.
Yeah, and that's really been the key that we've been asking for the entire time, was to say that, yeah, you know, it was free trade with ag products, at least all the ones that, you know, we are currently, you know, tied to with corn here. And as long as we can, you know, continue that type of a level or parity there on the two different packages, you know, then we'll be very pleased with that that being done. But that said, you know, again, we want to make sure Canada gets done right as well. And it was one package before, and, you know, we'd just as soon see it that way again. And so if this is what brings them to the table and gets it done, then, you know, we just want to see that certainty in the marketplace and get it moving.
Talk about the significance of that Mexican market for corn farmers.
It's huge. It's huge. Mexico is our largest corn market, export market, and, you know, it's going to be a large ethanol market as well. They've got a lot of air quality issues that they need to address, and if we can get MTBE out of their market like we did years ago in the U.S. And replace that with ethanol, they'll see a lot of the air quality benefits that we've certainly seen here in the U.S. So those are huge. Distillers grains going down there to Mexico are also a really, really big market for us. And you know, aside from that, there's also a huge meat market down there, the meat exports down there, hams especially when it comes to pork, and lots of beef products go down there as well. So we're you know, we're exporting corn in a lot of different forms to Mexico, and we just needed this deal to get done.
I do want to talk about ethanol, but before that, anything else on trade?
Just we're going to keep working hard on free trade and you know, on what it's good for ag policy, and that is free trade. You know, we export a lot of ag goods, and National Corn Growers are working really hard every day out there on your behalf, trying to make sure that, you know, that the government hears that and understands how important trade is for farmers.
Kevin, I assume that you're a champion of ethanol. What has 2018 been like for you, watching the speculation and then the news that EPA was granting these oil refinery waivers, promises from the Trump administration of E15 waivers that still haven't taken place? What has this year been like from that standpoint?
I think it's been one of the most frustrating years in terms of renewable fuels policy in general. That I have ever seen, and that's you know, goes back, you know, 15 years or so of lobbying on these types of policies. And you know, the administration has really said they could do some things with the RVP waiver and an E15, getting that to the point of year-round sales, and we're still yet to see that. So that's been very disappointing. We're still trying to figure out if we can get them to reallocate these gallons, these 2.25 billion gallons of ethanol that were granted in these waivers, and that alone is destroyed corn demand. And that was one of the things the administration said they would not do, is create a destructive demand scenario. And clearly, if you wave gallons like that, you know, that's exactly what you've done. And so, you know, we're waiting for all kinds of answers on those two issues alone. And there's some other issues within renewables that need addressed as well. But I tell you what, we've gotten the short end of the stick, and that's a problem. The farmers need some wins here. Corn farmers need some wins. We've had a lot of down years in a row of incomes, and it is time that we see some serious advancement in renewable fuels policy again.
EPA Acting Administrator Andrew Wheeler was in Iowa recently, and I know that all of agriculture is trying to get more familiar with him. What are your impressions so far, and what do you need to hear from him?
We need to hear that that he's going to stand behind the RFS the way it was intended. And we have not heard that yet. It almost feels like a broken record from Pruitt's policies. You know, we had some cautious optimism when he took over, when Wheeler took over in the position. And I guess I've seen nothing that has really backed that optimism up to this point. I think maybe he got in our state fair food a little too much and got glazed over, you know, in the thought process. I don't know. But he heard it down there at the state fair from a lot of good, you know, key folks within our state associations and legislators here. I know he got an earful down there, and you'd like to think that you know, it made some headway. But I'll believe it when I see it, and we're going to keep fighting hard.
Let's talk farm bill. The conference committee has their first meeting scheduled for September 5th. The current bill expires at the end of September, so a pretty narrow window. What are your expectations, Kevin?
I think they'll get it done. That's really the biggest key, is that, you know, to make sure that we don't get outside of that window. But all signs are pointing towards they're getting close. Large conferees, numbers on the House side especially, and that'll make things a little bit more challenging. But from what I'm hearing, you know, it's certainly a piece of legislation that they want to move, want to finish up. And again, certainty in the marketplace is something that we have been lacking on a lot of different fronts, whether it's trade, RFS, or even the Farm Bill. And so if we can get a few of these things knocked down slowly, that'll help stabilize the markets, hopefully, and hopefully we'll start seeing some movement.
Looking at differences between the House and Senate Farm Bills, when you hone in on some of the safety nets, also conservation, what areas are you going to be watching the closest?
Well, we really want the MAP and FMD funding to be increased, and I think both bills did that a little bit, but you know, a large number on the market access and foreign market development dollars. That's really significant, especially when you see all these issues in trade right now. So that's really helpful. That's something that we lobbied hard for. Those some ag research dollars that we wanted to see increase there, and really wanted to see some changes, you know, the ARC program, and really make some advancements within that. We're going to see how that shakes out. I'm not real optimistic that's going to get to the point that we thought it might in making that program a little bit better. But at the same time, there's a lot of pieces to a farm bill, and we need to see something moved. And there's a lot of folks out there that with other programs that rely on those dollars and funds. And September 30th is a big day.
Kevin, last thing I have for you, the 2018 growing season, how would you describe it to this point?
You know, so in Southwest Iowa where I'm at, it was awesome early on. They were calling us a garden spot in Iowa, which doesn't usually happen in Southwest Iowa. And shoot, we ran into a whole lot of windstorms and some severe green snap damage, after those. And then ran into some real dry weather as well. So I think your yields across the state of Iowa are going to be extremely variable. I know there's some dry areas around Des Moines, southern Iowa, and northern Iowa started out with a whole lot of water. And there were some big numbers that come out of USDA and Crop Tour and things like that. But as I see it, there's going to be some real have and have nots on the at the end of the day when it comes to the yield. So we'll see. We've got damage ourselves on our farm, and it's going to be what it is here in a couple weeks.
like you said, it's been variable, but generally speaking, do you think harvest will begin earlier than normal in Iowa?
Yeah, generally speaking, I do think that. There's we certainly were way ahead on growing degree days early, you know, for quite a while. And kind of backed off here a little bit, I think, in the last few weeks, kind of slowed things down and caught some rain late. But there's a lot of this crop that was moved, you know, quite a ways. And if you look around here in this area driving in, there's some guys that are going to be rolling here pretty quick.
Anything else on your mind, Kevin, that you want our listeners to hear today?
Just that, you know, national corn growers are fighting for you out there every day in Washington and on a lot of issues that are affecting, you know, you guys on your farms. And, you know, if there's issues that they feel we need to be working on, you know, make sure sign that membership card and get it in and make your voice heard. And that's really what we're here to do. There are 40,000 members, and we're here representing the corn industry and the corn farmer. And so hopefully we're helping their profitability at the end of the day.
Kevin, I appreciate your time. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate it.